We've been dealing with the book of Nehemiah and the preparation of the wall and the building. And we have heard from all these guys, we heard first of all about the grief from Chuck, about the grief of Nehemiah and his prayer to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. We heard the petition of Nehemiah to the king and the sadness of Nehemiah. And then we saw Nehemiah on his journey as the king granted to him to go back and to rebuild the walls and supplied all of his needs. And then for the wall building in chapter 3, the stations to the wall. And then we saw in chapter 4 the opposition from without. And then last night we heard from Chuck from opposition from within. And this morning we want to turn to chapter 6 of the book of Nehemiah as we come back now. And what we come to now is, again, an opposition in the ministry from the enemy. The enemy here is Tobiah, Geshem, and Sanballat. And as I was studying this passage, you know, I was thinking about how in this chapter it continues the account of the opposition of Nehemiah, how all of us are in opposition to the enemy. I don't think that any one of us can say that everything is really great. But if we are in a position to the enemy, we know that we're doing something right. The enemy, first of all, does not like you. He doesn't like me. And the enemy, here in chapter 6, beginning with verse 1 through 9, he's trying to attempt to ensnare Nehemiah. Trying to attempt to ensnare Nehemiah to enticement. Invite him out from doing the will of God and the work of God so that he can be entrapped by other things. And of course, it was to hurt him, to destroy him, to stop the work of God. One thing that I realized today as I was reading that we really need to understand and know who is my enemy. We know that as men of God, we are constantly fighting not only against Satan, but against the world and against our own flesh. Many times when the enemy attacks our personality, our conduct of manner, we have a problem sometimes in justifying that the attack we recognize this from the enemy, but many times we don't really want to confess that also the attack has been brought on because of my flesh, my desires. Right here in verse 1, I made an observation that really spoke to my heart. Beginning with verse 1, he says, "And now it came to pass, or it happened, when Sanballat and Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors in the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, 'Come and let us meet together among the villages in the plains of Ono,' but they thought to do me harm." The first thing that I make an observation here in verse 1 is that when the enemy knows that I am rebuilding the walls of my life, when I am recommitting my life to God, Satan wants to attack me. He hates for any one of us to rebuild the walls within our lives. The rebuilding of the walls in my marriage, in the ministry, in friendships, are very important. I really believe that the reason so many people are being destroyed by the enemy is because they have no defense on the walls. They have no defense against the enemy. Many times as ministers, we can get caught up as the enemy begins to distract us into going everywhere like a shotgun. One thing about ministry is when you come into ministry and you rededicate your life to God and you're really doing great for the Lord, it seems that, you know, as God begins to move you on and begins to expand your borders, you begin to get invitations to go here and to go there. And I am convinced that one of the things about the enemy is that he wants us, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he wants to pull us away from Jerusalem, from where God has called us to minister to our people. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with going places and speaking and taking engagements. But have you prayed about being in that place? Have you really received word from the Lord that you're to go to this place of opportunity by faith in Jesus Christ? I feel that the attempt of the enemy here, as we see it here, and we identify it, we know that the enemy here is Satan. If Satan can get us busy, not ministry, but busy, thinking we're doing ministry, then the enemy has conquered. And what's going to happen is we're not going to be effective in what God initially called us to fulfill in our ministries. I feel that one of the purposes of the enemy in our lives is, I see it here in this verse, is that the invitation that Satan gives here to Nehemiah, it's an invitation to pull you away, first of all, from the Word of God. You get so busy in ministry that you don't have to really time to study the Word of God. Oh, of course, you have a lot of notes, a lot of sermons you can teach from. But how can we give that which, first of all, God has not given to me, first of all? I have to give what God has given to my heart. Chuck has been stressing that all through the conference. Many times, because we haven't really been good stewards of our time in the Lord. Yes, God will bless the people, but God really knows our hearts that we have not been faithful to the study of the Word and prayer. And so we're giving stale bread. God will honor His Word. And I really believe that the attempt of the enemy and the problem that I see here is the invitation is given to the servant of God to harm him by pulling him away from the Word of God, from prayer, from his family. And how many men of God have been destroyed and their families have been destroyed because they haven't really been the king and the priest and the prophet of their homes? I really had to really search my heart a couple of years ago because, you know, I was getting so many invitations in my life to go here and to go there. And at that time, my son Raul is here, you know, and one of the things about him, they were growing up and we do things here, we surf together and, you know, my other son plays music and so we're kind of together all the time. And I began to see that, you know, my boys really needed a father. They needed a spiritual leader in their home. And one of the things the enemy begins to do is he begins to, you know, to tell you, oh, well, you know, don't worry about it. They'll do fine. They'll be okay. And I thank God, you know what? I really believe that God's grace has fallen upon my life because my boys are all serving Jesus Christ. I have no complaints about my family and my boys. I cannot believe, because I was a heathen, you know. And to be able to see, like Chuck's generation and my wife's generation of Christians and their generation, to be able to see how God has honored His Word to my family, I get totally blown. I have nothing to complain. My mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, they're all saved. And I go, Lord, You blow me away. But the enemy is always trying to destroy. He's trying to harm us. Especially as God's called us to teach His Word, to minister to the people, He's trying to pull us away from His perfect will. And I believe there's a lot of us here that are in the permissive will of God and not in the perfect will of God. And that's why we feel miserable. You see, we need to be in God's perfect will. I want to be in that place at the right time is God truly has called me to be in that place, because then God truly, surely is going to move in my life. I believe that a lot of things that are being done for the ministry today are not godly. The enemy has distracted people. The enemy here gave the invitation to harm the servant of God, and the enemy is always, always trying to harm you with so many vices. He will try to harm you through women. He will try to harm you through pride. You know, you start thinking, you really, hey, you know, that was a pretty good sermon. I'm pretty good. And the enemy's behind patting on your back, and you know, you go back to the office, and I mean, you know, you feel like, you know, your shoulders sticking straight out, your chest straight out, and you're walking around like, you know, hey, that's pretty good. That's better than Greg Laurie. You know? But you know what? What blows my mind is that you go, well, I don't have any problems with pride. I don't have any problems with money. Just look at my gold. Just look at the things that I possess. Oh, of course, I am in the ministry. I think we need to be careful. I really believe that God wants us to be examples of the ministry. And the enemy is constantly trying to ensnare us with different vices like money, like pride, like women. Also, through fame and all kinds of other snares that he has. While you sleep, he plans. Remember that. While you sleep, he is planning on how he is going to try to get you. Here Nehemiah is being invited to come out to Ono, which is the territory of Benjamin, about 30 miles from Jerusalem. And the enemy's purpose is not only the invitation to harm his servant, but also the invitation here is always the enemy is trying to draw me away from doing the perfect will of God. He's trying to distract me by other things. We need to be like Philip the evangelist. We need to be in the perfect will of God so that when God calls, we go. But yet, there are so many today. Nehemiah, because he had made a commitment in his life and he had a job to complete to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem by putting the defense. I believe that in our lives we need to set up a defense around the walls of our homes, the walls of our ministry, the walls of our friendships. Because we're living in a time where deception is so broad. Deception has come. It's here. And Jesus warned us, and Paul told us that in the last days, many's love would become and would grow cold. And instead of really doing the perfect will of God, we're just going through the motions. And it's so easy to become, you know, a person that goes through the motions and not really be in your heart to really be used of God. We don't want to miss the opportunities of God in our lives. We need to be careful of invitations that we get not to be distracted from the perfect work of God in my life. Anybody can go and speak anywhere. And one of the things that I have learned by going out and speaking everywhere is that, you know, you go out and it seems that, you know, you spend, you know, dollars, you spend time, you spend all these things going out, and yet, you know, you're back to zero when you leave. For example, in missions, you know, we go out, and I've learned this now, that, you know, you don't, if you're going to really do missionary work, you need to look at a place in a country, in a city, or a town, and you need to spend all your time and energy on that one place, and spend time with the people, and teaching the nationals, and really working, because it doesn't work by working with other churches, believe me. You cannot put new wine into old wineskins. It is impossible. But it's really neat to be able to see the work of God as I begin to give my life and pour my life into these national people. And I become just like them. I don't live above them or below them. I'm right with them, and they can see my life as I'm living with them, I'm eating with them, I'm fellowshipping with them, I'm teaching them. Then to be able to see the work of God 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 years later, maybe we don't have 100 places, but that one place is going to be a place where they're going to teach the Word of God. And I believe that one of the problems with the enemy today is that he's taking us and he's scattering us everywhere, and we're not really accomplishing much, but we're back in zero. We need to be careful of the enemy, that he doesn't pull us away. Another thing that I see in verse 3 and 4 is the response that Nehemiah, the servant of God, gives to his enemy. And first of all, in verse 3, we see the servant of God's wisdom. Now, to be in the ministry, we need wisdom. We have the Proverbs to read, to study. Solomon was one of the wisest persons in the whole Bible. And it's neat because, you know, wisdom gives us the knowledge that we need to apply to the situation we find ourselves in. We need to know what to do. And I need for sure God's wisdom. And there is, you know, counsel in the multitude of people. Nehemiah comes and he begins to respond with great wisdom that God gives to him in verse 3. And notice what he says to the enemies. He says, "So I send messengers to them saying..." Notice first of all, he doesn't go himself. He passes it down to the next people. You don't have to do everything in the ministry. Notice that he recognizes in his life that this is an entrapment of the enemy. So what he does is he sends his overseers to tell his enemy, "Look, man, I am doing the will of God and I am not coming. Sorry for denying the invitation. I send messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?" Why should the work of God or the work of the ministry stop as we're being distracted by the enemy? It should not. The question comes up. Nehemiah says, "I am doing a great work." What kind of a work are you doing for the Lord? Is it a work that is only for the now? Or is it going to be a work that is not only for the now, but it is for the future too, in the glory of God? Is Jesus Christ getting the glory in everything you're doing today? Do people in your fellowship speak more about you than Jesus Christ? You see, it's very easy for the enemy to begin to bring us to a place of deception. I think of the passage in the book of Genesis. Remember when Satan came to Eve, she was the victim. And the first thing that the enemy did is that he began to challenge the word of God to the victim. So it means that if we really are not in the study of the Word, we're not in prayer, then how can we really have discernment to the enemy's entrapments? If God really is speaking to my heart. Nehemiah here in verse 3 and verse 4, what does he do? He resists the enemy. Because he sees the work that God has called him to do. Nehemiah is assured of what God has called him to do. He placed it in his heart. Nehemiah spent 4 months praying before God and fasting and mourning until God gave the permission and he was able to go with everything that he needed. God gave him the blessing. Maybe you find yourself this morning discontent in your life. Totally discontent. But I feel that if you find yourself discontent, there's a great work to be done for the Lord. God wants to work in me and through me. And the greatest thing is, man, that God possesses me and I am His instrument. And now God is going to work in me and He's going to work through me. And that is exciting. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to be doing anything in the world that I'm doing today but being in the ministry, sharing Jesus Christ. Not even Kung Fu. That's neat, but that's, man, the Lord is so good. Then you have other people that get into the ministry because it keeps them away from real work. Oh, this is a place to kick back. Lord, I'm called. Hawaii? Yes. Not wrong with Hawaii, okay? But you know how it is. You know how that is? Has God really called you? Has God called you to the Midwest, to the East Coast? Has God called you to Jamaica? Amen. Hey, I know a beautiful place in Colombia. Down in Medellin, where all the druggies are. About 20 to 30 people die every day in Medellin. Murdered. They need Jesus Christ. Nehemiah said, I am doing the work. Why? Because he knew the call of God. I love it, man. It's so good to know where you're at when God calls you, and you don't have to be, guessing. Well, Lord, do you want me to see whatever comes up? If I hear whatever, then I'm going to go there. Do you really know where to go? Has God really called you? Or is the enemy confusing you? Nehemiah said, I am doing a great work. Well, when you're doing a great work, guess what? In verse 5 through verse 9, the enemy begins to slander you. Slander came by the enemy, an attempt to slander the servant of God. When the enemy sees that you have become a great witness to your community, to your family, to your friends, then the enemy comes and attacks with slander in your life. He wants to slander the name of Jesus Christ in your life. Notice that here, as in verse 3, he said, why should the work cease while I leave to go down to you? And then in verse 4, but they send me this message 4 times and I answer them the same manner. And then, watch this, then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the 5th time, this is the 5th time now, with an open letter in his hand. Now, what they do now is they send an open letter to the servant of God. And in this letter, we find 2 things that I find in this letter. Number one, I find in this letter that they're using false accusations in verse 6, and then in verse 7, they're trying to intimidate him by these accusations. How many accusations, man, have you received? I receive accusations all the time, but you know what? If you know that you have integrity in your life and you know that you're right with God, then why worry about it? Why defend yourself? God is my defense. Chuck said it so beautiful last night. I pray like him too. Lord, break their teeth. Because you know what? God is our defense. You don't have to justify yourself. You don't have to excuse yourself. You don't have to be intimidated by people. Just be what God has called you to be. And you'll be happy. You'll be joyous. The pressure's off. But you see, the enemy thought that through writing this letter to Nehemiah, that he would accuse him. And how do these accusations come? They come by rumors, by gossip, by false information. When any time you receive gossip or false information, you should go to the source of the information. You go right to that person that you heard the gossip about, and you confront that person so you can hear right from the horse's mouth. Very important. Because you know what, believe it or not, we can harm people's characters by gossiping and false rumors and false information. People's ministries can be wiped out. And this is what the enemy was trying to do with Nehemiah. Trying to defame his name, trying to defame his ministry. And you know that the enemy has come against Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa many times, against Chuck. So many times the enemy has tried to defame him. But you don't have to defend yourself, man. If God is for me, then who can be against me? God fights for me. And you see Nehemiah, praise God for Nehemiah, man. Nehemiah discerned the letter. You need to have discernment in your life. Watch what it says in verse 6. And it was written, it is reported in the nations that Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be the king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now these matters will be reported to the king. So come therefore and let us consult together. Notice how persistent the enemy is. The enemy is never going to give up. When you're dying on your deathbed, the enemy will be there, believe me. He's never ever going to release you, man. He's constantly persistent in what he wants to do in your life, to destroy you. He is not for you. I love it because Nehemiah in verse 7, you see the intimidation. He's trying to intimidate the servant of God. And you know what's so neat? You don't have to be intimidated because God will protect you. God will give you the wisdom and the knowledge you need to have if you surrender your life before Him. He will help you. That's why He is God. And then in verse 7 and 8, 8 and 9, we see that great discernment of the servant of God. He says, and then I sent to him saying, and notice how discerning he is, but also he's bold. He writes back to this guy here. And then I sent to him saying, no such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. And they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. Notice that the enemy is always trying to weaken the work of God in your life. Always trying to weaken the work of God in my life by false denials, by false accusations. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to become oppressed and depressed. He wants you to feel sorry for yourself. You don't have to. The enemy does not like you. He hates you. We need to stand upon God's word. We need to stand upon God's blessings, upon God's promises, so that He's able to do the work in my life. Now, when the enemy recognizes that you're totally committed to the work of God and you're not going to bend, you're not going to submit, then he doesn't give up. What's the next thing that he does? The next thing that he does is not only slander and sends the letter, but the next thing that he does is he hires a false prophet. And he hires somebody that smells like a Christian and looks like a Christian. You know how they come? Oh, brother, I love you. The Lord has told me to tell you, I am one of the three prophets from Kansas City. Notice, verse 8. And then I sent him saying, no such thing. But then again, he goes on, verse 9. And they were all trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work, notice, and it will not be done. And what does Nehemiah do? Nehemiah, I love it, man. Nehemiah, man, he turns and he goes where? He's strained. They try to weaken the work of God, but what does he do? I strengthen myself in the Lord. He goes to prayer. Prayer is important in our lives. This whole book is covered with prayer. The whole work of God in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem was done through prayer. And I don't think that any one of us here could ever live apart from prayer. In the book of Acts chapter 6, what was it? We give ourselves to what? To prayer and to the Word. To prayer and the Word. As a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to arrange your priorities. What's more important, I believe more important in my life, is to sit down and to pray and to study God's Word so that when I stand for the people, I can give to them what God has given to me, first of all. Don't get so busy going to this meeting and that meeting and this missionary trip and that missionary trip. Hey, is Jerusalem taken care of? If Jerusalem is not taken care of, let me tell you this. The enemy is going to come and it's going to sneak in. And you may come and you may find yourself with a new pastor. You never know how the enemy works. The enemy's smart. And yet, Nehemiah, because of the love that he had for his God, He says, and now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. I love that. Strengthen my hands. Remember in the Old Testament, the priest would go in and take the oil, and he put upon his right thumb, upon his right toe, upon his right ear to do what? The anointing of the ear to hear what God says. The anointing of my hands to do the work of God. And the anointing of my feet to walk in the ways of God. We need it today, people. Yes, we all need it. It hurts to be able to see when the hands of the servant of God are weakened and the servant of God is disqualified from service. We've seen so many in this generation. I pray, man, that God Himself will keep you in His love and His grace and His mercy, and that you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Be aware of the snares of the enemy. He doesn't like you. It looks good on the other side. It looks green. But let me tell you something. It will kill you. It will kill you. We're only here for a short time. This body is perishing. This outward man is perishing. But what does Paul say? The inward man is being renewed day by day. That's my fellowship with God. Day by day. Lord, what do you have for me this morning? I want to strengthen my hands for the work of God. Lord, strengthen my hands. Strengthen the hands of my wife. Strengthen the hands of my children, Lord. Because God truly, too, wants to work in your life. So we see as Nehemiah now not only uses the sermon, but Nehemiah also encourages himself in the Lord. And then he says in verse 10, and afterwards I call to the house of Shemaiah and the son of Deliah and the son of all these names, who was a secret informer. You know, in the body of Christ, there's always those secret informers, man. You know, that are always trying to deceive. And watch this. He says, and let us meet together in the house of God. We can't get you outside. Let's just meet in the house of God. And let us meet within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. Notice that they even hired a false prophet to discourage and to bring Nehemiah to that place of defeat. But you know what? Nehemiah, I love Nehemiah. Look what he says. And I said, should such a man as I flee him? And I know Kung Fu. You don't have to be afraid of it. When you're in the Lord, man, you don't need comfort. Man, you know what? The Lord protects you. Seriously. It's so neat, man. You know, I see these guys walking with bodyguards, you know. The Lord, I got angels around me, man. You got angels around you. One angel in the Old Testament went into, you know, remember the city of Jerusalem was surrounded when they came? You know, and the Assyrians surrounded it. And what is Hezekiah? He became weary, right? No, he went to the Lord, spread the letter before the Lord. And says, Nehemiah, Hezekiah, go get a nap. Go to sleep, man. Be cool. Just relax. You know, in the morning I'm going to show you. So he got up in the morning, went over the wall, looked over the wall. What happened, man? Everybody was dead. 185,000 Assyrians were killed by one angel. God always protects His people, man. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. And then he says this too. And then I said, should I such a man as me flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Why? Because I have given my life to God. Hey, when the Lord, when my time is up, guess what? I am happy. I don't want to be here any longer than I have to be here. When God is over with my life, you know what? I want to be with Jesus Christ. Why be here if you're not going to be used of God? I want to continue like Nehemiah to be used of God in my life. And then finally, in verse 12, comes the discernment again. And then I perceive that the God had not sent him at all, but that the pronouncement of his prophecy against me became because of Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way in sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. Notice the enemy wants to bring a reproach in your life. Totally bring a reproach upon my life. But you know what? I also feel that here we can see that we need not to become like this prophet to be a hireling, but let us truly be, you know, true ministers of the kingdom of God. We're there not because we're getting paid for it, but because we really have a call of God in our lives. No matter how small we may be of a ministry or how big we are of a ministry, that heart should always be for God, to serve God, even if we have to for free. Because it's a calling of the Lord. And then Nehemiah turns and again, and notice that here against the child of God, you know, you don't have to have fear. He said, "My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these works and the prophets," notice Nadiah, "and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid." And what did he do? And so the walls was finished in the 25th day of Elihu, September, in the 52nd, notice, 52 days, the work was completed of God. And isn't that true what Paul said? God has called us and He is going to work what in us, but He's also going to finish the work. It is His work. It is His ministry. It is His money. And I am His and He is mine. Father, I thank You so much for Your love and for Your grace and for Your mercy. And Lord, I pray that these men and these women here today, Father, we pray for their protection. We pray for the opposition of the enemy upon their lives. And Lord, I pray that You would continue to move in us, to work through us. Lord, we pray for a hedge about this church here, Lord, for Chuck and Kay and Father Romaine and all the ministers here, Lord. Father, for every church represented here today too, Lord, we pray that You would anoint them, that You would watch over them, Lord. Father, those that have fallen away, we pray that You would bring them back, God. That You would touch them, that You would anoint them. And Lord, we thank You so much for the blessing of all these years, bringing a balance to Calvary Chapel and giving us the teaching of the Word of God, Father, which is so needed around the world, Father. We thank You for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is the end of Side 2 and the end of this message. If you would like further information, please write to Chapel Tapes. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or call our toll-free lines. If you're calling outside of California, the number is 1-800-272-WORD. For those calling inside California, the number is 1-800-282-WORD. May God richly bless you as you continue to study His Word.